This program is part of the Ulagal Radio Network. Ulagal Radio, going beyond the pew, proclaiming truth and encouraging the brethren. Rise up, O men
of God. Welcome to A Few Good Men with your host, Rick Popejoy. In last week's episode of A Few Good Men, we asked the question, what can spiritual leaders in the Lord's church today learn from the rich young ruler? Now, the story of this young man, as we noted last week as we began this series of lessons, began as one of the most interesting and yet at one of the most expectantly stories in all of the Bible, yet it would end sorrowfully and in great tragedy because of a single choice that this man made. Now the story has a great deal of perspective to it, and we would do ourselves a great deal of benefit as leaders in the Lord's church if today we would ask ourselves the question, as we asked last week, who is this young man? And we noted that from the world's point of view, what they could easily see was that he was a young man, and that as a young man, he was a man of great wealth and prestige. That here was a young man who had all things going for him. He was rich, he was young, and he was a ruler. He was a man who stood very high in the estimation of others. There is no doubt about that. Even from heaven's standpoint, he is described as, in the text, as an earnest man running up to Jesus. He is a humble man kneeling to Jesus. He is described as a reverent man. He referred to Jesus as a good master or a great teacher. And it's obvious that he was an honorable man in that he kept all of those commandments Jesus mentioned from his youth up. He had a very clean record. So if you judged him by the world, he had youth, influence, and wealth. If you judge him from heaven's standpoint in the record of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, then he was an energetic man, earnestly seeking after the Messiah. He was humble and reverent, and he was extremely moral. But the young man continues on in this story, even giving us more impressive information about himself. Now he's got everything that he could possibly have in this world. Some men would be satisfied with that. Some church leaders would be satisfied with that. Well, we've got the numbers. We've got everybody seems to be in unison here, and at the same time, the contribution is good. We got more money than we can actually spend on good works. We're actually looking for good works to spend our money on. So it looks like everything is working well for this young man. In fact, he asked two very powerful questions. In Matthew 19, verse 16 and verse 20, what good thing shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And what lack I yet? Now, here is a young man who obviously is spiritually inclined. He had doubtless been taught by the Jewish leaders that men are to be saved by doing something. In fact, you can look at, there are many passages in the Bible that Jesus could have gone to if he wanted just to tell him what to do. For example, Micah chapter 6 and verse number 8 could have been referenced. He has showed the old man what is good. And what hath the Lord require of thee but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly before God? He could have gone there and encouraged this young man to continue to live a Jewish life like the rabbis or the Jewish leaders had been teaching him, no doubt. At least he understood that no one can go to heaven just because he is a Jew. just because of a certain parameter in his life has been set. By the way, he didn't determine that he was a Jew. It was determined for him. And so he wants to know more. What lack I yet? And this statement, one thing thou lackest, may mean, in fact, everything. And as we'll see in this story, certainly does for this young man. This one thing, like a key to an automobile, you see, the main spring to a watch, the compass or the rudder to a ship or the sail of a ship. I mean, listen, this one thing is not just, oh, that's a little bitty thing off to the side. This is an important central element in this young man's life. And it was lacking. So he didn't lack youth. He didn't lack influence. He didn't lack wealth. He didn't lack morality. But he had missed eternal life. That life which can only come from knowing God through Jesus Christ. One of the most beautiful statements made by Jesus, I would suggest to you, is John chapter 17 and beginning in verse number 3. In the prayer of Jesus, Jesus says, "This is eternal life, that thou mayest know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent." To know God. To know who Jesus is. Paul would reference this in Philippians chapter 3. And in Philippians chapter 3, I want you to notice verse number 10. Philippians 3, verse 10, Paul says, "That I may know him," that is speaking of Jesus, "the power of his resurrection," that is the initial obedience to the gospel through baptism, "the power of his resurrection," 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21, and he says, "the fellowship of his suffering," the willingness to be a disciple of Jesus regardless of the cost, counting the cost and carrying through, he says, "and being made conformable unto his image," being like Jesus. You see, this young man had some very good beginnings in his life, and he had some wonderful questions along the way. He's on the right path. But now, notice Matthew 19 and 21, Jesus' startling reply. Now, Jesus made a twofold demand of him. "If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven." If thou wilt be perfect, in other words, if you want to be like me, if you want to be my disciple, if you want to be like Jesus, if you will supply that which is lacking and make your obedience complete, he says, "go and sell all that thou hast." In other words, consecrate yourself unto God. Now, why? Why would Jesus say this? Jesus wanted him to dethrone an idol in his heart, 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 21. Jesus went behind the curtain of the initial phase of his heart. Jesus dug a little deeper than the topsoil here. Jesus saw that he made riches his idol. So he says, "Come, after you've done all that, come and follow me." This one thing is essential. This is the key that will start the car that you can drive. This is the sail that will catch the wind, that will cause the ship to sail. What Jesus was after was not primarily the selling and the giving. Jesus was after the young man himself. He wanted complete obedience to him. This is what Paul referenced when he said, "and the fellowship of his sufferings being made conformable unto his death." Now, listen to the Hebrew writer. As in Hebrews chapter 5, he would write about what Jesus' example really means. He says, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Jesus is not asking this rich young ruler to do anything that he himself was not willing to do. And not just the giving up of riches. He gave up heaven. He gave up riches that he became poor that we might become rich, 2 Corinthians 8 and verse number 9. But he did so to the power of the brutality of the cross. You see, that is the whole of Christianity. That this is what leaders need to learn. It's not just about the surface. It's about digging deeper. The lack of it is, what is wrong with this man is what's wrong with so many today. And that is, we don't dig deep enough to understand the value of a man's heart in leadership. My friends, we'll continue with this study next week. God bless, and remember that God is looking for a few good men.